We feel so blessed that you've joined us at Cultivating Hearts. We're in the studio, and I'm going to have the girls say hi and tell them your their names.
Hi, I'm Jessica.
Hi, I'm Linnell.
Hi, I'm Tara.
Hi, I'm Sandy.
Sandy has a cute little flip with her hair when she does that. She's got a new hairstyle. I wish you guys could see.
Oh, funny girls. Okay, so we are in James 2:14. Now I'm flustered. James 2:14-26. And last time we talked about living faith, dead faith. Oh my goodness, and man is not justified by faith. That's what we need to go on with. And I think I'm reading the passage.
You are, but I'm going to say something first.
Okay.
So what I want us to understand is that I want to reiterate this. We did this on the first show, but he's writing to Jews that have dispersed because of persecution. And what he is trying to get them to understand is that they can have a belief in God. They have Jewish people that have a belief in God, but they have not moved yet to an active faith walk because of Christ in them. And so he is trying to help the Jewish people that believe that there is one God, because in Deuteronomy, it tells us, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." They have a belief, but they have not moved beyond just that he is one God. They need to believe of Jesus and have him as Lord and Savior. So that's the goal, is the transference from that to Jesus the Messiah. And so we need to have that in our minds, because I think sometimes we forget that that's the purpose, the intent of the book of James. Mm. Go ahead, mm-hmm. Sandy.
Okay, James 2:14-26. "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' Mm. You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God.' You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also."
Mm. It's fun. I love it how every time something, when you read it, it stands out. So when you said he was called a friend of God, my mind just went to, "I am a friend of God." Yep. Can't sing. Sorry for all of those music majors out there. That's not my calling. Mm-hmm. But great song.
Great song.
Mm. Okay. I really want to emphasize where he says in verse 19, "So you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God." We really need to focus in on that. We have to recognize he's trying to get them to move past that. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the time to go in and we're going to look at some verses that will show us how faith and works work in other parts of Scripture, so that we can see that James is not speaking against what the rest of the Word of God says, but we can see how it fulfills what the rest of the Word of God says. Go ahead, Linnell, with Ephesians 2:8-10.
Okay. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them."
Mm. Okay, so through Christ, it's a gift. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many times I have been so blessed in that helping somebody understand that it's a gift, that's not something that they can do. And one of my favorite ways of doing this is, there's just a moment, a holy moment that God gave me, because I'm not that clever, but I've used it countless times ever since, where I've used a pen, that you have a pen, and I just hold it in my hand, and I will say to the person, you know, "Let's just pretend for a moment that I'm God, and this pen is Jesus, and I'm just looking at you, and I'm saying, I have this gift for you, it's yours for your taking." And it's your choice. You can take Jesus or you can reject him. Would you like to have Jesus? And I've been blown away. As I watch, you can see the physical struggle across the person's face. Is there like, wait, is she really expecting me to pick up the pen? If I pick up the pen, am I saying I'm accepting Jesus? Mm. Like, you can see it just trigger across their face. And invariably, I'll just pause and I just go silent. And they'll tentatively pick it up. And I'm like, if you've picked up that pen because you have said, yes, I will receive Christ, that's God saying, I have the gift of my son for you. But it's one thing to have that gift. If you don't, I don't know, if you take the lid off or click it and begin writing, you have not been active what mm-hmm. he's given you, mm-hmm. not put it to good use. And only one time have I, when God's allowed me to use this, have I had somebody look at me and the hand just go back and forth. Like literally, physically, the person knows I can see as they're doing this. And it's like, I'm afraid if I pick that pen up that he is going to make me write. I actually, in the person, and only one time have I had somebody say that, and I just kind of froze. I was like, wow, that's probably the most honest person I've had. And so what are you afraid he's going to make you write? And so oftentimes people are afraid that if they take the faith walk and they pick him up, they're mm-hmm. afraid of what he's going to call upon them to do, what's mm-hmm. going to come out of them, as because scripture says in other places that we are a letter written by him. Mm-hmm. And they're afraid it's going to be something they don't want or contrary to who they are. And I just want to affirm you, he created you. And I just want to give this out. Don't be afraid to pick up and allow the faith walk of using what he's given you, because he created your gifts, mm-hmm. he's created mm-hmm. your talents, he's created your heart, your mind, your soul, your spirit, and he knows the best way to use you. So it's not going to be contrary to you. It will actually, what you're going to find is that it's going to be where, oh, I'm finally doing what I was called to do. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And but you're not going to know that until you pick it up and use it. Mm-hmm. And so whenever I read that, I think of that. And it's really fun because, I mean, just the different people that he's allowed me see walk into faith as they picked up the pen mm-hmm. and used that as a visual. And within the last 6 months, the one person in particular, as tears were in her eyes, she just looked at me and she goes, can I keep this pen? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, it's yours. Yeah. And I had never had anybody ask that before either. But she's mm-hmm. like, I just need it as a reminder, because she's a person that symbols help. And so it's exciting to see how God will work that out if we let him. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's do Philippians 3, 7 through 10.
I once thought these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what is he wanting to let go of? What is he calling rubbish?
Mm. His own righteousness.
Mm. What? You mean the things I do that are good? Well, that's not nice. But it's
so true, though. Every time I just try harder and will myself to, you know, do things better, it always is awful. It's just, failure. It makes a mess. And it's not until I get to the point of utter brokenness and mm-hmm. say, God, I can't do it. I need you to come in and fix me mm-hmm. and work through me that actual progress ends up happening.
It's mm. so much fun. And what's crazy is it's instant. Like, you're mm-hmm. shocked, yeah. right? Like, really shocked when it happens.
My dad would always give an illustration of, like, if you're walking along a path and you start to veer off the path, God doesn't say, okay, now if you want to turn back, you have to like make your way back to the path. He says, no, the path is instantly there where you are, and we redirect from that one point. And so it's like, as soon as we repent, we're right immediately in right standing with God. We don't have to earn our way back into it. We just have a new path that we have to forge from then on. And
That's good.
So good.
Your dad
so
does good. A lot of that.
He does.
He should be on the radio.
Your mom's been here with us. Yeah. I think your dad has actually sat and listened on a couple of shows.
Probably.
Yeah.
She was back, you know, sitting knitting and listening.
Yeah, There, a couple of times through the years as Janelle's come through and stuff and everything.
I have some pretty great parents and family.
Yeah. Yes, you do.
You are very blessed.
Very blessed. That's very right. Blessed. My golly.
It's crazy because the surprise is that when we are willing to let him, the change happens and we're not aware that change has happened. And I don't know, within the last week or so, he did something for me where I did not know a change had occurred, but he allowed, and he uses worship music for a lot of us when that happens. And so last year when I hit the tree, the song by, I think it's Rachel Scott, or is it Hillary Scott? I don't remember. Thy Will Be Done.
Hillary Scott.
And that song, when my pain was so, and I mean, just, I hear that song and like tears come to me because that was my pain song, I guess is what I would call it from the hit. And just the questions I kept wanting, I wanted to ask God questions, but I'm humbled that this is, because it surprised me. I'm mature enough. I know I don't have to ask why. I'm asking what now? Like, he's put me at that point in my life, but I wasn't ready for the what now of pain that's going to be chronic pain. And having to walk across campus and hurting and having to say I'm hurting and asking for help because I'm hurting and all that. And last week, the song, and whenever that song comes on the radio, it's like everything in my body does a physical response to that pain at the time. And it came on, and the song was playing, and I'm like, God, oh, you did it. And I didn't know you did it. And I'm like, that is my pain song now. And even though I'm still in pain, I don't need it anymore because I know it. And I just kind of was, I don't know, I don't even know that I can even put words to it. But like this just incredibleness of God-ness. I don't know, how do you express that? But in that moment, I saw a truth that he had solidified in me that I didn't know he was solidifying. I knew he was at work in me, but I didn't know it was that one. And just kind of sat in awe. And when we're willing to let him do that and let go of whatever it is, and it is rubbish, everything, it's nothing unless it's by faith. And then saying whatever.
I think like, songs do affect us, you know, because when Steve was in and out of the hospitals and really getting sicker and sicker, the song that always was playing when I'd come out of the hospital, it seemed, was I Will Praise You in the Storm. And it's an old song now, but I heard it just the other day when I was, who knows, down or whatever, and I thought, oh, yeah, I'll just praise you in this storm, too, because it's so important to praise him during that time.
That's beautiful. That's encouraging, and I love that he uses worship to help us with that. So being willing to say, it doesn't matter when it compares to the knowledge of Christ, and being willing in whatever it is to say, okay, to know you, to live you, and to give you. I mean, literally, that should be, all right, so whatever it is I'm going through, I'm going to know you, I'm going to live you, and I'm going to give you. So as you are pouring into me, I'm going to be pouring it out into someone else. And it's just, my heart is just, I love my God so much. Okay, Galatians 6, 7 through 8. Sandy, you have that one?
I do. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he also will reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I love that.
Okay, so yeah, we get what we plant.
That's exactly right.
Pulling back in that planting analogy, knowing a tree by its fruit, and And so the other day as I was studying the Sermon on the Mount, I was thinking through, because it has a section where it talks about false prophets, and that the false prophets will come dressed like sheep in clothing, and so they look as if they have the fruit, but they do not. But one of the things that occurred to me as I was sitting there, it's like, okay, how do I know the fruit? Well, here's the deal. If you pluck and taste, fruit does not lie.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
It does not lie. And so we have to be willing to do the plucking and the tasting to determine, you know, and that will help us to know when, if something is been sown that shouldn't have been sown, because it will reap what it's not. But if it reaps, if it's sown of God, it's going to sow righteousness. It'll sow Christ. Mm. Okay. All right. We're going to do, we have a little bit of time left. Let's do Matthew 7:16-23.
Okay. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
That one's the one that always gets me. It's always like, okay, what's my motivation? Is it for God or is it for me?
Yeah,
I don't want him to say that to me.
Me either. But the fact that you're willing to ask it.
Yeah.
Because I think the people that aren't going to ask it are going to be the ones that he's going to say, get out of here. I think that when we're authentic and have Christ in us, that we're going to know and recognize our sin and have the heart that says, I'm not worthy.
Yep.
Okay, so let's sum up this real quick. Okay, as we went through these scriptures, one, we have to recognize that God saves us. Two, that comes at the moment of belief. We cannot take credit. It's a gift. Salvation's not a reward for anything we've done. It's because Jesus loved us and he died on the cross that our sins would be forgiven, and he rose from the grave that we would have eternal life. We're not allowed to boast about it. We can boast on him, but it's not on us. It's nothing we've done. We're a masterpiece created by God, and that he has a purpose, and that purpose is to use us, and a plan, and it's to put us to work, and so it's to be active and to do things that he planned for us. Mm-hmm. That's pretty beautiful on
it
that.
Is.
All right, so we're glad you're listening. Come back. We've got a little bit. We're going to talk about Abraham and Rahab. God bless.